to drive digital performance. You need data that you can trust to stay ahead of competitors. At Data AI, we are the first to unify consumer and market data to fuel insights by applying the power of AI. Today, we are the mobile standard. Tomorrow, we will unify and illuminate all digital opportunities. Data AI, level up.
This is your tech news briefing for Wednesday, March 30th. I'm Zoe Thomas for the Wall Street Journal. QR codes, once laughed off, now you're seeing them everywhere. Restaurant tables, ads on the sides of buses, and in TV commercials. But there's a dark side to these little matrix barcodes. Our eagerness to trust and scan them could be leaving us open to scams. On today's show, WSJ contributor Heidi Mitchell joins us to discuss how QR code scams work, why authorities are concerned they could be on the rise, and how you can protect yourself. That's after these headlines. A massive cyber attack hit a Ukrainian internet service provider on Monday. That's according to Ukrainian officials. The country's cyber agency says officials repelled the attack and that the company could restore service, but it didn't say who was responsible for it. Some experts are saying this was among the most harmful cyber attacks since Russia invaded Ukraine, and the incident is fueling fears that the Kremlin could use more dangerous digital weapons as the war drags on. Russia has denied involvement in cyber attacks. We report exclusively that the Justice Department has endorsed legislation that would forbid large digital platforms like Amazon and Google from favoring their own products and services over those of their competitors. This marks the first time the Biden administration has given its full-throated support for the antitrust measure. In a letter viewed by the Wall Street Journal, a top DOJ official told leaders of the Senate Judiciary Committee that these dominant online platforms presented a, quote, threat to consumers, markets, and democracy. And they said the legislation could support growth of new tech businesses. Our markets reporter Caitlin Ostroff says digital platforms remain opposed to the bill.
Amazon.com, Alphabet, Google, Apple, they're opposed to this legislation because it would make it harder to offer popular services. And they say that it's fair for them to make profit off of their search engines and e-marketplaces and apps, which they've made, and that they're popular because of their efforts.
NASA wants to send astronauts to the moon again, and it's getting a boost from the Biden administration. The White House's annual budget request includes a proposed $1.5 billion for a second moon lander project. NASA says it'll solicit proposals from companies to build the new vehicle, not including SpaceX, which won a similar contract last year. Environmentalists are putting pressure on Bitcoin to clean up its act. A coalition of environmental groups wants to change Bitcoin's code to decrease the energy that's needed to create it. A campaign launched this week is seeking to push people in the Bitcoin community, from miners to investors, to take action. Our reporter Paul Vigna, who covers cryptocurrencies, says as Bitcoin has become more popular and profitable, the amount of energy being used to make it has grown significantly.
The issue has been serious for several years, and the more energy Bitcoin consumes, the more serious it gets. Other cryptocurrencies have addressed this issue. Bitcoin's community has not. They have rejected change. And ultimately, what's really interesting about this is that the people who could actually make the change are five or six computer software developers who have actual access to the code. Now, what this campaign is hoping they can do is that they can convince so many people involved in Bitcoin, Bitcoin miners, Bitcoin investors. There are a lot of investors now who come from Wall Street, and Wall Street has become much more environmentally conscious over the past few years. So what they're hoping is that they can reach some kind of critical mass of people involved in Bitcoin saying, we need this change to be made, that they will convince the developers and ultimately this small group of developers to make that change.
And staying with crypto, Sky Mavis, the publisher of the popular online game Axie Infinity, says hackers have stolen more than $500 million worth of cryptocurrency from its network. That makes it the second largest crypto hack ever, according to analytics firm Elliptic. The company says it's working with blockchain data firm Chainalysis to track the stolen funds and with government agencies to help catch the hackers. All right, coming up, do you scan every QR code you see? Why are we so trusting of this tech? And could scammers take advantage? We'll discuss after the break.
To drive digital performance, you need data that you can trust to stay ahead of competitors. At Data AI, we are the first to unify consumer and market data to fuel insights by applying the power of AI. Today, we are the mobile standard. Tomorrow, we will unify and illuminate all digital opportunities. Data AI, level up.
The pandemic has made using all sorts of tech a routine part of our daily lives. One piece of tech that's become fairly ubiquitous is the QR code. For years, they've been used to do things like verify plane tickets on our phones. But now, they've replaced everything from paper menus at restaurants to business URLs and ads. So, is our willingness to scan these little black and white squares putting us at risk? Authorities think so, and they're warning that unsuspecting QR code users could find themselves getting scammed. Joining us to discuss this is WSJ contributor Heidi Mitchell. Hi, Heidi. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Heidi, most of us know what QR codes look like and what they're used for, but give us a bit of background. Where do they come from?
So they're basically like the regular scanning code that you would see on any product at your checkout at the grocery store, but they have much more information in them. So they were devised by Toyota actually in the 90s so that they would put them on the parts so that during manufacturing, they could just scan this QR code and it would have all the information they needed, where it goes, when it gets loaded into the product. And it was used a little bit, but it kind of never really picked up speed in anything other than manufacturing.
Okay, but now I feel like it has picked up speed. And every time I see them, I'm like so inclined to pull out my phone and scan it. What is it about these QR codes that makes us humans so, you know, inclined to do that?
Psychologists say that there's a bunch of different biases at play, but there's this thing called urgency bias where you just want to take care of the thing that's right in front of you and get it done. And when this QR code's right in front of you, it feels so easy to just put your phone up in front of it. It just scans it, takes you to a website. It's almost like a reflex at this point. We see them. It's like when you see a line, you just join the line, assuming that that's heading you in the right direction. And that's sort of what we've been tricked into believing. I mean, it isn't totally a trick because it's often useful, but we just naturally lift our phones up, scan this thing, and it's going to take us to a website to log in, to pay for something, to get onto the Wi-Fi in some public space. So we've just become really used to them in this touchless sort of semi-post-pandemic world.
Is there anything in the fact that it's tech? Are we more trusting because, you know, it feels like somebody built this and therefore there must be something maybe good behind it?
I think that's a good point that it does feel a little bit high tech, more than just a regular barcode that could be really easily faked. There's a lot of information you can see in there. Sometimes there's pictures in there, like a Snap Ghost or so. Because they look more sophisticated, I think the mind believes that it's more sophisticated. It really is like a barcode. The biggest example we've seen recently was during the Super Bowl when Coinbase, their ad was just a bouncing QR code. And 20 million people put their phone up to their television sets and or laptops and scanned this thing, causing their site to crash just for a few seconds. But still, it was a kind of a national fervor to scan this thing, and it was going to give you some free money. So, of course, there was an incentive to do it.
All right, let's talk about how that kind of trust can be exploited by bad actors. There are scams involving QR codes. How do they work?
So, basically, what these QR codes do and the scammers do is they have you put your phone up to a code, you scan it, and it takes you to a site that's actually fraudulent. So it'll pop up and it'll look like, say, it's a place to pay for your dinner you just ate or to log into a public Wi-Fi, and you'll put in all your credentials. I mean, that feels like a normal thing to do, right? We're used to doing that. And so they're taking advantage of that typical practice of filling in these you know, with your name and your address and your cell phone number and your email address, maybe your credit card information.
Is it possible that these could be even more malicious? I mean, we're warned about not clicking links in emails that we don't recognize. Is there the possibility that scanning one of these QR codes brings us to malware or something, destroys one of our devices?
Yes. So there is the fear of these QR codes doing worse than just stealing your information. So, of course, in a typical QR scam, they will send you to a malicious site where they're taking all your information down. The really good ones will take your information and then they'll send that information onto the actual site. So you'll never really know that your information was stolen. But it could be worse where you're going to a bad site and it's putting malware onto your phone. And then forever and ever, as long as you have that phone, they have access to your phone. So all the stuff that's on your phone, which is a lot of personal information, right?
Right. That feels really worrying. I mean, we have so much on our phone and we are also seeing QR codes everywhere. Does that also mean that the scams using QR codes are on the rise?
So it's interesting because you'd think that this is a great opportunity, but there's a couple limitations for the scammer. So they have to be in situ, like they have to be nearby. If they're going to throw a fake QR code onto a table at a restaurant, they have to be physically present, and that takes a lot of work. And scammers can just as easily sneak into a bank electronically and steal a bunch of bank numbers and log in. So this kind of takes a lot of work. So it's a little bit local, a little bit lo-fi. Where we've seen them pop up is at parking meters. And there was one in Texas that actually did work out and they got a bunch of money, but it was not released how much. But you'd scan it. It looked real. You'd scan it. You'd put in all your information and pay for it. And they would then steal that money. You probably also got a parking ticket because you didn't actually pay for the parking that you thought you were paying for.
So kind of a double whammy there.
Double whammy there. But interestingly, on the Better Business Bureau's scam tracker site, they're listing just 46 QR code related attacks since March of 2020. So since the beginning of the pandemic, but we have seen an increase of QR code usage by 750%. So while that's going up, the scams are still not that frequent because they're kind of hard to execute. You have to be local.
Is there a way to avoid these scams or to protect your devices?
So I've noticed on my iPhone, at least, that when you put your camera pointed to the QR code, up pops the address. And so you can see it. It doesn't often give the whole address, but it looks, it's like something you're going to click through. So you can click through that. Or better yet, you can go completely old school and ask for a proper menu, or you can just type in the website yourself rather than clicking through that to that website.
So it just sounds like it's up to all of us to be pretty vigilant as we're using these.
Yeah. And if when in doubt, just take the URL that it gives you and type it in yourself. See if it looks legit.
All right. That's WSJ contributor Heidi Mitchell. Thanks for joining us, Heidi.
Thank you so much.
And that's it for today's Tech News Briefing. But before we let you go, we want to give you the opportunity to send us your tech-related questions about the war in Ukraine. Do you want to know more about how cyber attacks are being used in war, the blocking of social media platforms, or maybe how tech companies in and outside Ukraine are reacting? We want to hear all your tech-related questions about the war. Leave us a voicemail at 212-498-8852. We're planning on answering these questions in an upcoming episode. Once again, that number is 212-498-8852. We look forward to hearing from you. I'm Zoe Thomas from the Wall Street Journal. Thanks for listening.
Adoption of teens from foster care is a topic not enough people know about, and we're here to change that. I'm April Dinwiddie, host of the new podcast, Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Each episode brings you compelling real-life adoption stories told by the families that live them with commentary from experts. Visit adoptuskids.org/podcast or subscribe to Navigating Adoption, presented by Adopt US Kids. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services Administration for Children and Families and the Ad Council.